Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host. Wait a second. What's the name of the show? It's Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, yeah.
I'm your host of Radio Wasteland, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host of Radio Wasteland, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today on Radio Wasteland?
Oh, is that what we're calling it now? Okay. But yes, I do. So New York City is showing an increase in UFO sightings this year, with 184 sightings so far this year compared to 151 total for the entire year last year. So one individual reported being physically assaulted by a craft using some sort of ray. Quote, I felt this heat-like feeling going through my body, they reported, starting at my head like some sort of radiation, burning me, like frying me, and that's when I realized it was the craft. Freaky stuff. A tourist in Scotland taking pictures off Shannonry Point, not quite sure how you say that, has captured photos which he believes are evidence that the Loch Ness Monster has found a new home. The photos were captured when he was taking pictures of swimmers in the water. He claims he did not notice the protruding head of the creature until later. The images are compelling, or at least as compelling as any other photo of the Loch Ness Monster, which is to say it's a grainy photo of a curved object rising from the water that kind of looks like a reptile head. Experts warn that the increasing availability of user-facing deepfake apps, such as the app ReFace, could in time spawn a misinformation crisis. While the technology has existed to create convincing user-generated videos of real people for years, experts warn that this technology has now become accessible to the average person. The ReFace app has already been downloaded more than 42 million times. Nina Schick, author of a book titled Deepfakes, The Upcoming Infopocalypse, worries that the ethical and moral considerations behind this technology may be, quote, three steps behind the business development. However, so far, ReFace has shared information with companies like Facebook so they can build deepfake detection tools. And finally, the mystery of sudden elephant deaths in Botswana earlier this year appears to have been solved. Nearly 330 elephants were found dead due to unclear causes. Scientists now believe the death was not due to poaching or poisoning, but due to toxic blooms of cyanobacteria as a result of the warming climate. Cyanobacteria is a blue-green algae and naturally occurring neurotoxin, which now blooms more frequently in water sources due to climate change. Tests revealed that the elephants drank algae-poisoned water and died as a result. Other animal species do not appear affected by the algae. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, New York sightings. Okay, this makes me think of two things. Two very obnoxious things.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise. One is that apparently to the long list of coronavirus symptoms, we can add UFO sightings.
You mean like UFO hallucinations?
Yeah.
I guess that it might have not been a heat ray, but a fever, as his brain imagined a craft frying him with a ray.
And then the other is that the heat laser, there has to be some sort of crowd control Trump joke in there somewhere. I just haven't put it together.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, because it didn't occur to me when I was putting together this news that heat rays are actually like a thing that exists now and not science fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so
I saw a reporter get hit by one. Have you ever seen this video?
I've never seen it used. I've heard it's agonizing.
But. Yeah, so there's this reporter and they're testing it on him and he's all, okay, so they're about to turn it on and he's watching. He's all right, go. And he's all, 1,000, 2,000, and then he like takes off running after like 2 seconds because it just burns, you know? And it's wild.
But. Yeah, it's terrifying. Especially since this stuff just gets used on peaceful protesters all the time.
Oh, dang,
there's a crowd. Better burn them.
Yeah, and I got to put this out there anyway. Even if they aren't peaceful protesters, because I know a lot of people listening are going like, what, they're rioters. Even if they are rioters, you probably still shouldn't use a heat laser ray on your own people.
Yeah, well.
That's just kind of like, free country 101. You know, I understand you got to reel it in and some bad things are going to happen, but, you know, using untested laser technology on your own people, that's a little weird.
I mean, I think it is tested. And to be To be fair, I don't know that it's that much worse than tear gas, but like...
It is tested, and the military decided not to use it, so it's
Oh,
not,
really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the military doesn't use it. Yeah.
Well, that's... I mean, the military can't use tear gas either, because it's a chemical weapon.
But realistically, okay, so getting back to the topic at hand...
which is UFOs.
New York UFO sightings, you know, this is... you know, half of one would say, of course, they're home more, you know,
sure. Yeah.
Because of coronavirus and all this stuff. They're home. They're on their porches. They're having beers, looking at the sun. The moon.
Like, is that what people do?
You get my point. They're looking up. They're home more. The other flip side of that for me, though, is light pollution.
Yeah.
Is this New York State or New York City?
No, it's New York City.
Wow. Huh. Because with light pollution, you wouldn't be able to see very
much. Yeah,
high
you up. Wouldn't think it would be really a hot spot for sightings, but UFO, again, just means unidentified flying object. And that's I imagine right. There's a lot of, like...
drone activity and...
Yeah, drones, just air traffic, just misidentified stuff.
Deepfake misinformation crisis from Reface. Again, this brings me back to the Fugazi lyric, which I'm sure was taken from something else. It doesn't matter what you're selling, it's what you're buying. The misinformation crisis is a crisis. The crisis is not the misinformation that people are putting out. It's how stupid people are to take it all in.
I completely agree.
And yes, there is a massive, massive crisis.
You know, I used to think this was a problem, but then COVID came out and I'm like, and I realized it's not going to change anything. There's like fake videos and stuff that look real going around because people don't need the videos to be convincing fakes to believe them. They will choose to believe or disbelieve, you know, whatever they want.
Yeah. Haven't they seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2? I mean, Kurt Russell is not a young man, yet they made him a young man. I mean, surely we've, you know, literally 80% of adults in this country have probably seen some sort of aging technology that they was jaw-dropping to them in a movie that they saw.
Yeah, well, the difference here is that, like, it used to be that, you know, this was stuff that would take, like, an expert weeks to do. Now it's stuff that takes some dude 20 minutes to do.
Yeah, I just...
Which, but you're right. I don't think the deep fakes are what's going to change things. I think our continuing crisis in terms of just having really bad education and information literacy is the crisis.
I think people need to stop being such hypocrites. They're all about like their themselves, their own freedom, taking control of all this stuff, yet they do nothing to make themselves smarter or more educated. They just process out a bunch of crap and spit it back out as though they learned something. You know, if you're going to be all cocky, and basically act like you know everything. You got to get out there and know everything. Here's the rule. If you start any sentence with technically or actually, you damn well better be right or you're a jackass.
Well, yeah. let's do a complete overhaul of human nature and get back to all of us on that.
Well, I think we're working on it. Yeah, and finally, sudden elephant deaths. I hadn't heard of this.
That's sad.
But they're dying from toxic blooms of bacteria due to global warming.
And yeah.
The only thing I have really to say about this is must be embarrassing to die from something that doesn't exist.
Dang. I feel vaguely owned now. You owned me.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Tonight, our guest is Hep Aldridge, and we're talking about something we've never talked about before. And I got to say, we both latched onto this topic immediately.
Yeah.
We're talking about sunken treasure and treasure hunting and lost cities.
That's a good
absolutely
one.
Cool. This guy's the real deal. He really did this stuff, and it is really interesting. Especially, it's weird, the politics of treasure hunting.
Yeah, not like national politics, but like, you know, back room, I scratch your back, you scratch
right,
mine
yeah,
politics.
Yeah.
Like, it's freaky stuff.
Yeah, it's weird, weird stuff. All right, so stick around. Hep Aldridge coming up here on Radio Wasteland.
Bay's fall plant sale is coming up on Saturday, October 3rd. Members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. Don't miss this chance to stay big on plants during this key season for planting perennials. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Turtle Bay has two new exhibits opening on Saturday, September 26th. Expedition Earth and Bench Press, Please Be Seated, Please. From interactive exploration around our world to awe-inspiring craftsmanship, these two exhibits have something to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is Hep Aldridge. He's a certified scuba diver, cave diver, and amateur archaeologist whose main area of interest is pre-Columbian cultures of the America. He has led or been part of archaeological expeditions to Mexico and Honduras, making discoveries that have been reported in National Geographic. That is some real stuff. Hep, thanks for being on Radio Wasteland.
My pleasure.
So, you know, my first thing that leads here is I think a lot of us want to eventually know, like, oh, did you see something amazing down there? But, you know, the first question that pops to mind to me is, what led to what? Was it an interest in this pre-Columbian stuff that led you to do the scuba diving, or was it scuba diving that led you to this stuff?
that's a question that's going to take a little time.
We got an hour. Perfect. Get it done in an hour.
Okay. But I'll try and keep it succinct.
Yeah.
I started getting interested in pre-Columbian cultures when I lived in New Mexico. My father was with NASA, and he was working on the Apollo program in the early days, and they were testing the launch escape system at White Sands Missile Range. And we moved from East Texas to Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I spent my junior and senior year in high school out there. While I was there, and I've always been interested in treasure. I mean, what guy or gal isn't interested in hidden treasure or buried treasure or stolen treasure or, you know, right, whatever. And, of course, the Southwest is just full of all kinds of stories about bank robberies and train robberies and money and gold that's been hidden by the robbers because they couldn't get away with it and they never came back for it. So that kind of got my interest in the treasure aspect. While I was living in New Mexico, Las Cruces is only 45 miles north of El Paso, and it's on basically what has been for many hundreds of years a direct route out of Mexico. I started hearing about legends of treasure being taken out of Mexico by the Aztecs. You know, Montezuma's treasure before the conquistadors could get to it. And I was like,
interesting.
I've never heard of the Aztecs to speak of. So I started doing some research. The treasure is what caught my interest. And I started doing some research and I learned a fair amount about the Aztecs and the fact that they were an indigenous culture down there and quite large. And they were a very rich culture, lots of gold, lots of silver, all the kinds of things that a person that might be interested in treasure would want to know about. And then I learned about the ransom of Montezuma and the fact that the natives or the Aztec people had spirited out a lot of his treasure before giving it to him because he was killed prior to, you know, the treasure being delivered. And it just so happens that stories that I heard out there had them coming right through my area, right through Las Cruces, going through across the Oregon Mountains, which are just to the north, and then further up into the Four Corners area of the Southwest. So that really got my interest. The fact that they had a lot of treasure and the fact that they came through my area, I started doing more research about it. And that's when I realized that the Aztecs were only one small segment of the population in the Mexico and Central America. And I learned about the Maya, the Olmec, the Toltec, Zapotec, Mixtec. I mean, there's a whole range of civilizations down there or groups down there that all made up this whole area of Central America and Mexico. And they all had your unique things about them. And one of the things that really started getting me even more interested is when I started seeing the architecture and the building and what they had done. Because you have to remember that all of them were a Neolithic culture, which means they were New Stone Age. They didn't have metal tools to speak of. They didn't have the wheel. And they didn't have beasts of burden. So basically, they built cities like Tikal and Chichen Itza and Calakmul, you know, fantastic cities without metal tools, you know. And I was like, how could they do that? Because they're still standing.
Right.
So that really then got me interested in the archaeology part of things. And I continued my reading and my research, and really fell in love with it. My last duty station assigned when I was in the military at Homestead Air Force Base. And that's when I started hearing about the sunken ships off the coast of Florida that were Spanish fleets that were bringing treasure from South America, Central America, bringing up the coast of Florida and then turning and heading for Spain. And the number of ships that had wrecked and the amount of treasure that supposedly was on them, that got me all excited about that. And I got certified back in 1969 while I was down at Homestead and spent some next 2 years diving some in the Keys and meeting some extraordinary people, treasure hunters. Basically, the icons of treasure hunting on the on the east coast of the United States anyway.
So, you know, what is the ratio of I'm curious as to people's motivations into getting into treasure hunting. You know, one of them, of course, is I'm going to get rich. The other is I'm just sort of really interested in the research, and this is sort of a fun way to spend my time. You know, what is the ratio of treasure hunter to treasures actually discovered? I mean, is there a fair amount of treasure actually being discovered?
Yes, actually there is, and that's directly related to modern technology.
Interesting.
As diving technology has improved, and more tools are available to those that are doing the underwater research, whether it's magnetometers, metal detectors, you know, a number of things, more is being found. But for instance, and I'm going into shameless self-promotion, the book that
that's
I wrote.
What we're all about. Don't worry about it.
the book
that was
I wrote.
The first, you know, proposed name for the show was Shameless Self-Promotion, but then Chauncey was like, well, but Radio Wasteland. So
I like them both.
It's in the spirit of the,
there you go.
Of the thing.
I delve into a treasure fleet that was lost off the coast of Florida here in 1715. Mm-hmm. There were 11 ships that were part of it that left Havana. And when the fleets would come from South America, Central America, to head back to Spain, they followed the coast of Florida up actually north, probably somewhere in South Carolina, before they would hang a hard right and head towards Europe. One of the things that they were always told, which I learned, I did not know, is that when they were coming up the coast of Florida, they should always keep the coast in view. So they always had to be within eyesight of the coast of Florida. That's pretty darn close. And the 1715 fleet was made up of 11 ships. Well, on the night of July 30th, 1715, a hurricane was brewing in the Caribbean, moving this way. And about 2 a.m. on the July 31st, it hit. And out of the 11 ships, 10 were sunk. So a hurricane was coming from the southeast, and ships were traveling up the coast of Florida within sight of land. So you have to understand that they got blown aground in pretty shallow water. And I would say probably in the past 5 to 10 years, significant treasure is being found along the coast of Florida, in 20 feet of water or less.
Wow.
So, that kind of talks about the treasure and where it's at. Now, finding it and making a living off of it, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Right.
Because in the state of Florida, we get into some really interesting political implications.
This was the night of September 8th in Talent, Oregon. No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
You are listening to Hep Aldridge here on Radio Wasteland as we discuss Sunken Treasure and Lost Cities.
That's what I was wondering. It's like, what's the law say about that? Is there a point in time where ancient discoveries become public domain, for lack of a better word, where
no.
or do you own it when you find it? Like, oh, these are my doubloons now. You know, it's like, you know, how does that work? I mean, is there no government claim to it, or
in the state of Florida?
So it's different from state
the
to state.
State waters are 3 miles offshore. Mm-hmm. The territorial waters then go from 3 miles to 12 miles, and then you get into international waters. If you find anything within the 3 mile limit off the state of off the coast, 20% of what you find automatically goes to the state. Okay, that's right off the top. They get the pick of whatever it is. Now, here's the kicker, and one of the things that I address in the book, which I just really, it kind of sticks in my craw, and there are a lot of people out there that will not agree with me, which is fine. The waters, the ocean, the bottom, was leased by the state of Florida to private individuals who are now charging treasure hunters to work portions of the bottom of the ocean. And so you have to pay, the last time I checked it was somewhere around $2,500 a season to work a section of the bottom where you think there might be treasure.
Really?
And that's the key, where there might be treasure.
So let me throw this out there. So Florida has taken their 3 miles of underwater coast expanse, and they have leased it out to individuals. So now these people are paying Florida for the right to charge other people.
Right.
That's basically.
But here's the kicker.
I don't even see how that's allowed, but sorry.
I know. Well, it's like I said, it kind of sticks in my craw.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. It's primarily leased to one person.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, that person was Mel Fisher. And
I'm
I think most people would remember the name of, he actually started out in California, teaching scuba diving. And he was brought to Florida by a group that I almost had the opportunity to dive for, which was the Real 8 Corporation. And they were located down here in Cape Canaveral for a while, but then also down in the Sebastian area. And the person who started the company was Kip Wagner, and he was a construction man. And he started finding real silver coins up and down the beachcombing back in the late 50s, mid to late 50s. And he realized after throwing some back in the water and watching them skip across the top, that was silver, that was treasure. And so he started a company, and it was called Real 8. And he and about six or seven other individuals went together to form this company. They realized that they needed some additional help, and they were looking. I'm not exactly sure how Mel Fisher came into it, but somehow they knew of Mel, who had a dive shop out in California. And they talked him into moving to Florida and becoming part of Real 8, which he did, but then broke away in, from what I understand, not too pleasant terms, and went on his own, and then went on down to work the Keys and discover the Atosha, which is one of the largest treasures that's been found off the coast of Florida. But he worked a deal and got a lease from down around Port St. Lucie all the way up to Sebastian, which is a pretty extensive area. And that section is known as the Treasure Coast. And the reason it's known as the Treasure Coast is in that area is where the 1715 fleet went down. His daughter recently sold the lease to another individual or a company who are now selling leases or putting out leases for different sections of the bottom as we speak, and are making the money off of it. Like I said,
classic regulatory capture.
Say you go out
American way
and you pay $2,500.
Right.
And you go out and you take your boat, your divers, your time, your effort, and you find $100,000 worth of gold.
Right.
Okay. If it's just gold, so basically you come in, you say, hey, I found $100,000 worth of gold. I'm rich. Well, state of Florida gets 20% of that. Okay, so now I've got $80,000
right
worth of gold. Well, unfortunately, the person that you paid the money to work the lease gets 50% of whatever you find.
What?
Wow.
How is that a thing?
So you pay 20% to Florida. You pay 50% of the 80% that you have.
Right.
So you do all the work, and you wind up with 40% of what you find.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does not seem.
Yeah. So, but there are a lot of people that do it. And
well, yeah, of course. What choice do you have if it's something that you love to do? I mean,
right,
what choice?
Right.
You know.
And there are a lot of people that do it for a living. I'm friends with a number of people who are diving right now. and are finding gold. But that always struck me as being wrong.
Yeah.
And when I retired that I was going to start a treasure hunting company, and I really delved into it, I was like, I don't know if you can cuss on this program, but somebody threw the bullshit flag, and I said, no, I'm not going to put my money and my time and my team and, you know, out there to do this. But I had an interest in it, and I've studied it. I studied the fleet. Out of the 11 ships, one survived, 10 sank, only 6 have been found and identified.
Wow.
That means there's 4 more ships out there that have not been found, and they were all laden with treasure.
What were the other ones, the value of, you know, on the average, the other ones that were discovered?
Well,
are we looking like 100,000, or are we looking like millions?
No, you're talking anywhere from, say, 50,000 to the hundreds of thousands.
I see.
And here's the thing. When the ships sank, they ran aground, which means the hurricane blew them towards land, and as it did, it ripped the bottom off of them. And so they moved a significant distance as they were sinking. And so the treasure is not just located in one area where the ship sank. It's strewn across the bottom in what's known as a debris field. So the treasure hunter has to go out and try and find a debris field. And if you find one, you use metal detectors and magnetometers and, you know, side scan sonar to try and find something that gives you an indication that there's probably a wreck there, then you have to go down and you have to start working the site.
Speaking of the technology of this stuff, this is a statement I've made on this show many times before, and that is, I am both hugely impressed and very disappointed in human technology. You know, part of me is like, oh, I can't believe that we're capable of doing this. And then the other part of me is, oh, I can't believe we're not capable of doing this. You know, it seems to me like we should be able to discover that pretty easily. I mean, but this is my sci-fi sitting on the couch watching TV attitude, I have no real world, you know. So what kind of technology are we looking at here, and what makes it so difficult to find? You would think that something like gold or something, we would have some way of laser picking that up, or,
yeah. Well,
forgive my ignorance, but
No, not at all. I mean, there are so many people that think, well, why can't you just detect it?
You're right.
Well,
yeah.
If you're on the bottom with an underwater metal detector, you can detect it.
Hmm.
But the bottom's pretty darn big. So where do you look? And that's where side scan sonar, which actually can give you a picture of the bottom and what's on it, and using a magnetometer, which comes into play, because what a magnetometer does, you tow it behind your boat, and it measures the magnetic field of the Earth. Okay, now we're getting to some what I call cool science, I think, because
yeah.
the magnetic field of the Earth is actually mapped. And you know, there's a chart that you can go online and find that shows you the magnetic reading of any part of the Earth that you want to know. So what you do is you'll pull your magnetometer, knowing what your parameters are for where you're looking, and you look for any aberrations or any blips, if you will. Now, the only thing a magnetometer will do, it will detect ferrous metals. Okay, it won't detect gold, it won't detect silver.
Right.
What's ferrous? Magnetic? So,
like
iron. Yes, magnetic, iron-based. So what you look for, what you're towing for, as it's called, mowing the grass, is cannon, anchors, fittings, ship fittings, all of those will show up if there's any kind of a concentration.
Right.
So you try and find that, mark it GPS, and then that's where you start looking, thinking, okay, if there's cannon there, if there's anchors there, if there's ship fittings that are iron, then that's a good place to say, okay, a ship sank here, now it's time to get busy.
So, right. In the 300 years since the 1715 thing, like, presumably other ships have gone down in this area as well, right? Or no?
Yeah, there are some. I won't say a lot.
Does that mean that the debris field can get confusing and you can constantly be finding wrecks of no value?
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Local family business owner Mary Mooney was facing unfair government tariffs that would have been crushing to her family business and cost local workers their livelihoods. Mary called. I learned about her issue. We made a plan, got a solution, and protected her employees' jobs.
A trade dispute was going to raise our cost dramatically on one of our key ingredients. I have over 60 employees. Downsizing and letting them go was not an option for me or their families. I picked up the phone and I called Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He came right over and spent 2 hours listening and learning about our company and then went right to work and he got results. Thanks to Doug LaMalfa, instead of laying people off, we're expanding our family business.
As your representative, one of the most rewarding things I do is helping solve problems created by Washington bureaucrats. Stories like Mary Mooney's are proof we are making a difference. I'm Doug LaMalfa, and I approve this message, paid for and authorized by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and over-regulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You are listening to Hep Aldridge here on Radio Wasteland as we discuss sunken treasure and lost cities.
As my body has gotten older, I start to ask myself, why did I collect all these stories if I'm not going to write them down? You know, I mean, and you're definitely out there collecting stories through your existence and hunting.
Well, and yeah, that's what happened. I was able to, and this story took probably 15, 17 years to come together in my mind. And I finally, at one point, once I retired, I said, you know, what, you know, if I'm ever going to do anything with this, I might as well put it on paper or put it down. And I am not a writer. I have an English degree. I've never taken a creative writing class. I didn't know the first thing about writing a book other than you sit down, you start typing. So
that's pretty much all you need. Yeah, that's it.
Well, that I like to think so, but let me tell you what, that's not the case. it's been an unbelievable learning experience for me. But I've been lucky, and I've met some people that have helped me out a little bit, and so I'm feeling pretty good about what's going on and kind of the direction that I'm headed with this. And it's fun. It's a hell of a lot more fun than my dissertation was, let me tell you.
Yes, I can imagine dissertation, no matter what the topic is, does not sound fun.
No, it was a grueling process, but it was a process.
Right.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier is you were talking about sunken cities and hidden cities. I think a couple of things have happened in the last, say, 5 to 7 years that have really, really changed the world in terms of discovery and archaeology, which leads us to find hidden cities. And one of them is the creation of LIDAR, which is the new laser system that allows you to shoot a laser beam thousands of times over an area from the air and then use an algorithm in a computer program that picks up the reflected laser and then the laser that actually touches the ground and removes the reflected laser. And so you can actually see what the contours of the land are.
And yeah, I rented an office once that was next door to a company that in Northern California flew drones, like military-style drones, over forest land in order to map the terrain for easier firefighting with this stuff.
Absolutely.
And you showed us this crazy, it looked like a Predator drone and everything. I don't know, it was crazy.
Well, they've got them for drones. You can take them. The run of the mill treasure hunter can buy one now. The price has come down so much, and what they do is amazing. And the one section that I know of, and I worked with the Guatemalan government at one point in time on trying to get some filming permits to go down there and document some of the Maya sites down there, but just recently. An aircraft flew over as part of the LIDAR mapping program down there, an area that they knew there were pyramids and the Maya civilization had been there, and they had estimated that there was probably 75 to 100,000 people that had lived there. They flew over and mapped it with LIDAR, and all of a sudden, this huge, huge city complex came up with what are called sock bays, which are sacred roads, going out and linking to other sites in the jungle, and they've upped it to over 1 million people in that area. So, you know, what we talked earlier, technology is really opening the door to finding the unknown, helping us learn more about prehistory or our history, and then making new decisions. Textbooks are having to be rewritten because of what we're finding out.
The risk of sounding flippant, I'm very interested on how 1 million people live in the jungle in one city without toilets.
Well, actually, I think they had a sewage system.
Really?
I think that's one of the things that I read. And most of the pre-Columbian cultures, whether they're in Peru, Inca, whether they're in the Central American area or they're in Mexico, most of them had running water in their cities.
Yeah.
I've seen some stuff on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Their cities were actually incredibly advanced, like
quite,
in comparison to the
urban. Yeah.
To the European people
see, that's
who were coming
what
there. I'm like, whoa, what,
you know,
how do they do all this?
Here's a Stone Age group of people that are much more advanced than we thought that they were.
Yeah,
I saw one of them uncovering basically like a village built up a mountain, and the top of the mountain had been carved out to create a cistern that held water, and the water would run down, and basically it was a class system that rich people lived up by the clean water, and it got poorer and poorer as the people lived down by the less clean water.
They call that trickle-down economics.
Yeah, apparently, but...
Is that surprising?
No, it's not, but it was really just amazing. I'm just all, how do you carve out a cistern that will save, hold, and rewater enough people throughout an entire year? That's crazy.
In the Yucatan Peninsula, it's basically much like Florida because it's mostly limestone. And they had carved cisterns, basically, where they would catch rainwater or they would divert water from the aquifer, if they could get down to it, their cenotes, and have that run into the cities. I almost fell into one of the cisterns when I was down there tromping through one of the areas. And, luckily, I had a walking stick, and I put it in front of me before I took a step, and the stick kept going, and I went, whoa. And when we uncovered the brush, here was a perfectly round opening, and when we got the lights down in there, smooth as silk sides, and then we started finding more of them at this site, and that's where they stored their water.
Wild. Yeah, it's wild. All right, well, we're coming up on the end here. I'm pretty wrapped up into this. I want to ask you if you ever had malaria. There's a lot of stuff that I want to ask you, but we're at the end here. So, you know, where's the best place for people to find out more about you? Of course, there's hepaldridge.com. And I saw that you can buy your book on Amazon. I know that authors sometimes have preferred places for people to buy their books. Do you prefer them buy it off of Amazon, or how do you want that to go?
It's fine. They can buy it off of Amazon, or they can buy it directly from me. Either way. The only thing is, if you buy it from me, guess what? I'll put my name in it for you.
All right.
Whoopee-doo, but it's it's one of these things. And once again, writing books it's so new to me, and I'm still learning as I go, and it's so much fun. I'm getting fan mail. What's that all about?
Right.
Yeah. I never dreamed, and people are saying, would you please sign? Can I buy a book from you? Would you please sign it for me? Absolutely. I love it. I consider that a privilege. Thank you very much. When you do that. But
what is that all about? I have a radio show. I don't get fan mail.
You need to try a little bit harder, Chauncey.
I know.
It's only because people hate us, Chauncey. I wouldn't worry about it.
I do get fan mail. I just didn't want Kara to know. All right, so you've been listening to Hep Aldridge here on Radio Wasteland. His website, hepaldridge.com. His book, Sunken Treasure, The Lost World, and Sunken Treasure Revelations. And a third of the trilogy coming up. We got a title for that one yet?
I'm working on it.
Working on a title for the third one? Order it from his website. If you want an autograph, order it from Amazon. If you just want to spend the money.
And they have the Kindle version.
Or the Kindle version, exactly.
Right.
All right. You've been listening to Hep Aldridge here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you, Hep.
My pleasure.
Yeah. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.